Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello! Thank you! Welcome! Wow. Thank you for coming out, Corsham!
Hello!
Corsham! What's going on? Oh, okay.
We're like, they sound leery. They're just silent. This is great. This is fine. Let's go on.
A woman with a lanyard just like ran by. So I'm like, she's very official. So let's be silent. Find out what the scoop is.
Give us a cheer if you dressed up for Halloween.
Yay.
Well done.
Yeah, we didn't bother.
I did. I came as sexy Katie Hopkins.
I came as sexy Bill Murray. Or less sexy Kate McKinnon.
Oh, no.
I'm sexy, it's fine.
I know.
You're not Hannah, you're Katie.
It's really clear what I am. I don't even need to explain it to them.
What is Katie? What is this? What is this?
Hey!
Figs! I'm Figs. Okay. She got it, right?
I'm Figs.
I think so.
I'm wearing, for the listeners at home, I'm wearing a skeleton onesie, a kind of a weird wig.
It's a Pat Sharp wig.
And then slightly...
Funhouse fan.
Pat Sharp wig and just some random makeup, really.
Katie has come as a whole lot of fun.
I've come a whole lot of fun and a mum with no real time. That is my costume. It's pretty scary. So I'm Katie Wilkins. I'm hosting this episode. We have Taylor Glenn.
Hi.
I'm
actually Reagan from The Exorcist. Oh my God, guys, I'm like so possessed.
And we have a ghost-busting Hannah George.
Whee!
And I will introduce our special guest in a minute, but first, give us a cheer if you've listened to the podcast before.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, give that makes this easier. That's very good.
But it means we can't repeat jokes. Or can we? Give us a cheer if you've never listened to the podcast before. Oh, okay.
Welcome.
No. We can repeat jokes. Woohoo! And give us a cheer if you are comfortable in the knowledge of what a podcast is.
Yay!
Okay. We are patronising Caution right now. Do you know what a podcast is, babe? Do you know? Have you heard of an iPhone? Yes.
I know. We would never, never patronise a historic market town and civil parish. Whose name derives from the old English
Cora's ham, which in this context means village. Yeah, the R didn't come until the Normans. I'm sure everybody says this when they visit.
I love that me and Hannah just let her run with that.
It's a bit of fun.
This is a true crime podcast, and we are going to be talking about true crimes and making fun of them, but in a very tasteful way. And so, without further ado, this is where, just for the listeners at home, Taylor's just opened some Prosecco really carefully. Not like Hannah the other night.
Yeah, if you wondered what the awkward silence was, everyone watched Taylor.
Overflow, we have overflow.
She's overflown there.
As this a professional drinker, you are fucking this up. This is our job, guys. It's fucking crazy.
I was going to spit it out and spin my head, but never mind.
All right. Do it in a minute. So this is where a martini shaken, not stirred, meets a Bond bale. This is where a tequila mockingbird meets To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's a very good one.
And this is where a pumpkin pie pina colada meets the Halloween Massacre. It's Yay. A true crime podcast with a twist.
Of life!
Yay! And so, without further ado...
My friend is in the front row and they were like, who's heard the podcast? And she was like, I haven't. I'm so sorry.
She hasn't got around to listening.
Not a fucking clue. So if every so often a woman in the front row, I'm like, you fucking bitch.
Oh, Friend No More. Yeah. It was my favourite 90s band.
She couldn't even be bothered to do it when she was coming.
Yeah. No.
No, it's fine. Anyway, before we go back to slagging off Hannah's friend, which is what mainly this is going to be.
The people who have never listened are like, the fuck have we come to?
I pre-booked a taxi from Chippenham for this. I thought it was going to be like a Murder, She Wrote tribute. What is this bullshit?
Without further ado, I'm going to bring on our very special guest, the fantastic writer and actor, Kerry Howard. Kerry! She needs some presentation.
Oh my God, Kerry Howard has come as sexy Kerry Howard.
Sexy Yeti Kerry Howard. Thank you. Oh, I just came for the booze, guys.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers, very welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys. And for the listeners at home, happy early December.
Yeah.
Kerry, can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have not been a victim of a crime, no.
Ooh.
No. Okay. But I might have done a crime.
Kelly, have you ever done a crime?
I tried to do a crime.
Ooh, okay. Tell us.
Time. So it was the 90s.
Was it a crime decade. Against fashion?
Kinda. You're in the place.
Okay.
It involved a scrunchie.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're on point right now.
Scrunchies in the 90s.
Yeah, hashtag scrunchies. They're happening right now. Again.
Are they back?
They are back.
Ah.
They're back and they're in my house because I think I'm 20 and I'm not. So I was probably 12 and there was a thing with my friendship group that it was like really cool to like shoplift.
Okay.
Right?
Oh,
we've all been there.
We've all been
so
there.
So cool to shoplift, right? And I was like the last girl to
You hadn't done it.
I hadn't earned my
gang stripe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I hadn't earned my red gang stripe yet.
Show us the jumper, Kerry.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, prove it.
Totally, it was all that. Like
that's a maternity jumper, Kerry. Can't be in the club.
I wanted to be in the club so badly. And I sort of like honed into sort of like the hair wear, like the scrunchies. And I was like, I could pinch a scrunchie. I could do this. So I sort of like go over to the scrunchies.
Yeah.
I am up and I'm like, well, there's a Navy number, like you. Pick it up. And then weirdly, my plastic bag... Sorry. We didn't care about the earth in the 90s, guys.
It was the 90s. They had different priorities.
We really liked plastic bags back then.
Earth Day was once a year, and that was enough.
Exactly. Get over it. And I was trying to put the scrunchie in the plastic bag, and I think either a wizard was there or a ghost, but the bag just span on its own. Ooh. And I couldn't, and this woman, like the security person was like walking up to me and I was just like, right, I'll put the scrunchie back. And then she just literally was like, let me look in your bag.
Wow.
I shat myself. And I hadn't nicked it, but I was like, but I knew my intent. Like, yeah. I was going to fleece you, bitch.
You'd looked dodgy.
Yeah. And then she like looked through the plastic bag and there was nothing there. And I walked out and I was like, well, there's a ghost in there. There is a ghost in there who's protecting me from the bad side. And screw you, bitches. I don't have to steal a scrunchie. I'm going to just go be friends with myself in the mirror.
Yay!
And work on my acting skills. And that is how I became an actress. It's not. But it's a nice end point.
That's brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I do love a helpful ghost.
Wow.
Keeping you on the straight
and
narrow.
Such a helpful ghost.
And it's nice that you just broke it off with them instead of going back like, I found God. Yeah. Let's do this.
No. I was bullied for many years after that.
Was it because you were like, this is my friend the ghost?
Yeah, exactly.
And she comes with me and makes sure I don't get into trouble.
Yeah, exactly. What should I do?
Can I sit with you at lunch? Yeah. I'm my ghost.
My name is Dottie P.
I used to have a ghost. I did used to have an imaginary ghost.
I was killed by an infinity scarf.
Excuse me, you used to have an imaginary ghost?
I did. And he'd come to the toilet with me at night.
Like, there's imaginary friends.
It
like,
might have been an uncle. I'm not
isn't that... I mean... Yeah. You That's imagined it was different. Your uncle.
No, not the ghost of my uncle. No, I was just joking. But I did. I had a ghost because I didn't like to go to the toilet in the night.
Who does?
Exactly. And it's getting worse and worse as we get older and I get drunker. And I'd go to the toilet and I'd sit on the toilet and I'd just talk to a ghost that was in the toilet with me. And my mum would like wake up in the night and be like, is Hannah talking to her ghost again? And I'd say, yeah, I did some sticking today and did some colouring. And then, yeah, we'll wipe. And... Little insight. So
A helpful ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, that can't drip dry, Fanny. Cry. You've got to wipe it. I'm sorry, it's basic.
I didn't think I could love you more. That's so sweet.
Female workplace.
So we have this thing, don't we, on this podcast where we ask, like, what would you say to that person now? And normally it's like the perpetrator, but I guess, what would you say to yourself?
The ghost. Let's do both.
Oh. I'd probably say to the ghost, take me. I want to learn so much more. I wish I followed that ghost. And to the young girl that was trying to steal a scrunchie, be quicker. You were shit.
Also, like, just wear something with pockets, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
like, who takes a plastic bag?
I know, it's so, like, you're obviously going to get, like, oh, Kerry.
Anyway, that is a crime that got solved. Cheers!
Yay!
So Kerry's weird ghost childhood.
I mean, it's lame, but it happened, guys.
We are now going to move on to the section of the podcast where we delve into a true crime.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
So I have all the information about this case because I'm hosting. These guys know nothing. They're like Jon Snow in season
Seriously.
Three.
I literally know nothing. I thought that I would be in the know. Like, we'd have a pre-meeting and we'd talk about the crime.
Oh.
Nothing. I know nothing. I'm kind of angry.
You're going to look like such a dick.
I wanted to Google it. I wanted to have my fact check. Nothing. I've just got my brain.
But you know what?
This isn't Mark the Week. It's legit.
I know,
and there's
right?
women on it as well. Hey,
yeah. Exact,
a lot of differences.
It's the exact opposite of Mark the Week. Right. But you guys, you might know more about this than you think, because this case that I'm about to talk about has been made into a film. And it was nominated for an Oscar.
Ooh.
And yeah, this is a lovely reactive audience.
It's Forrest Gump.
No, we're not doing that now.
I'm sorry.
We're going to do that at the end.
Right,
but
let
but
it go,
no,
Sally Fields.
It is not Forrest Gump.
I like that Kerry has already kept me on track. She's like, shh, you were sane? I need that.
It was nominated for an Oscar, and it stars, this is not relevant, but I'm going to tell you anyway, it stars someone I hate. And it stars someone that I really like. And I will reveal what those people are.
Groundhog Day.
Stop trying to guess.
Because you mean, love Bill Murray, but you're like, Andie MacDowell, really?
Yeah.
I don't hate her.
I'm neutral on her.
I love that anyway. Taylor thinks that was like based on a true story.
Yeah.
Or anyway, like a crime.
Like, wakes up every day.
What famous case was that?
The US government was supposed to unleash the technology to repeat a day on volunteers who had consented, but it all went awry in Punxsutawney.
Don't make me set Detective Howard on you.
I will come for you. Maybe not today. Maybe next week, later, depends. I'm tired.
Depends what the ghost says.
Yeah, whatever the ghost says. Right. A lot of the times as well, when we do this podcast, we end up quite liking the criminals. I think this one's a bit of a dick.
Great, I love
But he has done one of my favourite crimes. But anyway, I'm giving away too much. I'm going to start with the gotcha. Oh, I've given away it's a man. I was going to tell you that anyway. It's a man. A man did the crime. We're not going to guess the gender. So, right. A wanted man. Mm-hmm. He's a man. a male man. Thank you.
A male man.
Thank you for helping
They're
to clarify.
The worst.
Was it the Postman Pat movie?
Oh, my God.
That was very good.
It was. Genuinely regretting telling you it's a film. So he is arrested in Montpellier in France.
Bonjour.
Partly because someone recognises him and informs the police of his whereabouts. So question, who do you think might recognise him? Yeah. All you know so far is that he's a male man and he's wanted and he's in France. Who might recognise him and tell the police? A French woman.
A French woman.
Very good. That's a good guess.
Maybe a French man.
But is he famous? Why would he be recognised?
He's wanted.
He's wanted. That's why.
You're not fucking listening, Gary.
That's why I should have had the notes
to
before.
To be so wanted that you're recognised in Montpellier, though. Wow.
Is he famous before?
No.
Yeah, that's where I was. No.
All right, the lady in the audience was closest. He...
And adorable!
Wow.
Who is this woman?
Yay, ever.
But don't join in again.
He
Shut
is...
your bitch mouth. No, I'm just kidding. You're adorable. I'm worried we're just going to hear a...
You've ruined Christmas spirit.
Sorry, Katie.
He is recognised by an ex-girlfriend. Now, once he has been arrested by French police, a number of other countries sought his extradition. Question, how many countries do you think wanted him as well?
Oh my gosh.
Five?
Oh, eight. Five.
Ten from the audience.
Does he have an ex-girlfriend in every country?
Yes.
Amazing. And I think he's a bit of a player. He sounds kind of hot, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess like there's like 300.
So okay, we've got 300 countries. Yeah. Isn't there only like 195 countries officially?
I thought there was like 360 countries.
No, that's almost days of the year.
Okay.
Oh, wait, what? Yeah, no. What country are we in?
Horsham.
Yeah.
Keep up. Did you guess, Taylor?
I said five.
Kerry said five.
No, I said eight. Kerry said five. I want to make Kerry.
We had 10
like
from
Kerry.
The audience. Okay, the correct answer is 12.
Whoa.
I was close.
The answer's closest. Okay. So, 12 other countries want him as well.
It's money, isn't it? It's money. It's always money.
Yes, that was my question. What is it? And you're saying money.
Money.
Uh-huh. Okay, so...
Why would you be wanted in so many countries? I mean, I ask myself that every morning.
I think money is correct.
No, it's really my ass.
Do you want to... Oh, did we have fraud from the audience?
I mean, but money and fraud are the same. They're married.
Yeah. Okay. Fraud.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Kerry is correct and the audience are correct. It is
Thank you. Money and fraud. Yes!
So the short answer is money and fraud. The long answer, I will read you some of his rap sheet. It includes, but is not limited to...
He's a rapper.
He's a...
Now, Kate, you have to rap this whole sheet.
Please!
It's Halloween.
Yeah.
It's a Halloween rapping holiday.
Nobody wants this.
Everybody wants this.
Everyone wants it.
Everybody wants this so hard.
Yeah. Oh, we thought something.
Would you deny Corsham?
Corsham needs rap.
Okay. My name is
At least commit. Come on.
Just do the rap sheet. I mean, I like that you're doing the, like, badass introduction. My name is Katie and I'm here to say.
I'm a very white woman in every way.
Oh, my God. I believe in you.
I don't like rhymes. My son eats crisps. I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Right. His...
I can't do it without crying with laughter. So I'm going to just sidestep it.
Right. Okay.
His list of crying.
Oh, but it would be so good.
Go on, you do it, and we'll join in with the backbeat if we want to.
Yeah. You just, you know.
Do you feel like you're being bullied at school?
Do you want to nick a
I don't want to take you into Trauma Town. Like, we're supposed to be in Funville. I don't want to, like, no, accidentally get the train to Trauma
Town.
It's
all good. It's all good.
Okay.
So, con man.
Con man.
Con man.
Con man.
Con man.
Check forger.
Check forger.
If you think, you know, keep it under your hat for now.
Okay. Excellent.
You be quiet, Minnie Mouse.
Imposter.
Imposter.
I don't know what.
Assumed identities.
Assumed identities.
Don't make an ass out of you and me. We've got assumed identities.
Yeah.
Don't cheer that.
Impersonating a physician.
Dr. Dre!
Okay, these guys know what film it is. In a minute, if you guys can't guess, I might let them guess. But
I really know this.
We should all know this.
Right, impersonating a Bureau of Prisons agent, impersonating a lawyer, impersonating an airline
pilot. I know! He's not an aviator! He's
We should have just sent her the case.
Wow.
This is fucking crazy.
Oh, what the fuck is that film called? I know.
Tell me.
That's what I meant by the aviator.
It's Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's
come high with
catch
me.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Catch me if you can.
Yes.
No, I'm
so sorry. Come Fly With Me is the racist series.
Congratulations, everyone.
I love that film. He is really charming.
Yeah.
In the movie.
So the real story is
so
a
you
bit
don't
different.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio. This is the real
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, I don't
at hand.
Like him.
Okay. No.
I know you can go off me. I'm standing by it. I don't like him.
I like him as an actor, but physically I wouldn't fuck it.
Okay. Okay.
You wouldn't though. It's just no.
It depends which decade. Surely.
Like, all of them.
What that you are, it's like if you're more than 17, like he won't fuck you. So
it's true.
27
is his cut.
That's 27. Oh, I'm fucked.
See, I thought it was 24 even.
He adopts so many lovely children.
Anyway, it's weird too because you would think that impersonating an airline pilot is something you really only get to do once and then everyone dies.
Yeah.
But he did it multiple times. So actually now you're going to know the answer to a lot of these questions. How old do you think he was when he got arrested?
23?
21.
Okay. 21. He was a young'un.
Also, I've never seen the film, so this is still fun for me.
No. It's a really good film.
Is it?
It is a good film, actually. I watched it as research because I didn't have time. Anyway. But then I did proper work on Wikipedia. So, how old do you think he was when he started criming?
18?
17.
Excellent guesses.
I think the second he came out of the womb. He was just there with like in a little plane.
No, because his dad was like teaching him fraud and like the car runs over you and then you like so like seven.
See, I've blocked this whole movie out because I broke up with a boyfriend right after we watched this because we got into a big fight.
Okay. Well, the correct answer is 15. I'll give you sympathy later. 15. We have to crack on. What year do you think he's arrested in? What year can a teenager pretend to be a pilot?
Oh, it's... Oh.
With success.
It's pre-9/11, isn't it? It's got to be. It's, yeah. Okay.
It is pre-9/11.
1963.
That's good. Any advance on that?
Is it good?
It's not correct.
1966.
Closer.
I think it was like in the 50s. I've seen a poster for this film and that's all.
She said closer to mine. Oh,
the correct 71. Answer
so it's probably
is
a bit...
1969.
There it is.
He is arrested in 1969. Most of my questions are now redundant, which is great because we can race through this case. So he's from America.
He sleeps around a lot, has
yeah,
lots
he
of
does,
fun.
Yeah, he does sleep around a lot. He's a lot like... It's a lot like if The Catcher in the Rye actually... got off his arse and did anything. So
I you gonna... call him the catcher in the rye. Fuck you, Holden.
So
I've also definitely read that book.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh my god, I get that reference.
It's fine.
Okay,
it's
so Frank William Abagnale. He is born in 1948. He's one of four kids. He's raised in New York. He's got a French mom. His dad is a like. Is Christopher Walken in the film?
Walken. Yes.
Like you everybody gotta wants... do these crimes.
Oh,
that wasn't good, was it?
That was brilliant.
I thought I'd have a bash at it.
I thought it was pretty good.
Spot on. Fraud is great. No.
He totally makes it okay.
Yeah.
Like, if Christopher
By
Walken
the way,
was my dad, I would kill.
Oh.
I would, because I'd be like, Kerry, you could do this.
He'd be like, okay, Dad.
Just going to rip this Band-Aid
Take
off now.
The scrunchie. Yeah. That is no ghost.
I really can't do it.
In real life, Christopher Walken didn't teach him how to commit crimes.
Shut your face!
He was an upstanding guy, and after Boy. Frank Abagnale ran away at 15... he never saw his father again.
What?
But they made that part for Christopher Walken in the film, so it was a more interesting story.
Of course, of course.
And that was what the Oscar nomination was for, Christopher Walken.
He was phenomenal.
I love that you can be kind of like a shitty dad, but if a good actor wants to play you down the line,
yeah.
You can be like, yeah, we'll rewrite it, that you're kind of cool.
That's wow. Yeah. So I will get to some real life stuff that happened between him and his dad, but actually I've just given away the answer to
it. Wow.
Right. So they're quite an affluent family, and his dad was very keen on politics and theatre, and he was a big role model to young
Dangerous
Frank.
Combination, am I right, Corsham?
So who do you think was the first victim of Frank's first con?
First victim.
Ooh.
It's going to be mum, isn't it?
Babysitter.
You're 15. Yeah, who do you have access to?
Babysitter.
Where is he growing up? What state is this?
They're
Where is
in
he?
New York. Oh, and his parents get divorced as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I know, sad.
Okay. But I think it's his mum. I think his mum gets divorced.
We've got mum, we've got babysitter. Mm-hmm. Any advance on that?
Neighborhood team? Boy.
A neighborhood boy. Holly. The correct answer is his dad.
His dad.
Oh, it is.
Dad is the first victim of his first con.
Oh.
I think the lesson is just don't have kids.
Yep, kids.
It's like, solved.
Yeah.
Because, like, even if they really like you, they still might con you out of money.
Yeah.
So his dad taught him to con, and his first victim was the...
No, his dad didn't teach him to con.
I'm not
listening. Oh, that was the
That's
film.
In the film version.
La, la, la.
His dad is slightly more impressed.
I like to believe the conning. Film versions.
But basically, the dad is Frank Sr. The dad gives Frank Jr. a gasoline credit card. He's 15. It's 1963 at this point.
What?
There's a thing called a gasoline credit card. Deal with it.
Wow. That must just like for
gas. Just to go
and
get gas.
I think it's literally just for petrol stations, like for gas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Reality Bites, 90s.
Yeah, I get it.
Very niche.
So he's got this, it's to help him buy gas to get to his part-time job.
Right.
But Abagnale wanted more. He wanted money to go on dates and stuff
because
he
loves the lady. He is.
Such a parasite.
Hey, baby, I'm gonna take you to a gas station.
Wow,
yeah. Whatever you want, my car.
Do you want a bag of charcoal? Maybe a Twix.
Let's pump up my tires.
Probably because that
is your windshield clean because the fluid is free.
So anyway.
Is the windshield a vagina? I'm not sure where we're going with this.
Okay. There's a lot of options. You choose.
He devised a scheme where he managed to use the card to buy tires, batteries, etc. And then he would get the attendants to give him cash in return for the products.
What the fuck?
He sort of turned it into like a cash... Like when you get cash back, he basically turned it into that, which sounds a bit Del Boy, but that's his first con. And then his dad was left with the huge credit card bill.
Wow.
Do you want to guess how much that was for?
$1 million.
Excellent.
Probably like $350.
Yeah, 1969. Yeah. It was probably a huge amount of money. So like, I'm gonna go with $275.
Yeah. Okay. Anything in between?
I'm gonna go with 350, like the amount of countries there are.
Okay, it was $3,400.
That's crazy.
Today would be almost $30,000.
Yeah, whoa. That's insane. On batteries.
Yeah, and and gas and stuff.
This is like...
Yeah, I don't know how long it took him to get it that high, but anyway... You know, what are you getting your dad for Father's Day? Massive debt. So that was fun and all, but he wanted to start dabbling in bank fraud.
As you do. Why not?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, I don't like your wings. Guy.
Right?
Go I don't. It. He is a prick. Yeah. He just feels like, and then I put Leo in there and like, I'm just putting it all together. And it just feels like he's such a narcissist.
No, but like, dabble. You know, go dabble. Find yourself.
He's on
find
the journey.
Yourself at the gas station. You're a prick, but find yourself.
His next few confidence tricks involved writing personal checks on his own overdrawn account.
Check.
So, question: what was the drawback to this method?
Writing checks from
what? Writing checks on his own overdrawn account.
Can you do that?
I don't.
You could. You could in the '60s.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. I guess the debt comes back to him, right? It's like...
Yeah, basically, he can only do it for a limited amount of time before the bank demands payment.
Oh, so young. He just doesn't understand.
He had to up his game. So to get around that problem, he started opening accounts at different banks with lots of different names.
So like his mum's name.
This is when he started creating new identities to sustain the charade. And then he just basically keeps expanding on that for a bit. So he started printing out his own copies of checks, like payroll checks, and depositing them, and then encouraging banks to advance him cash on the basis that these spurious accounts with balances would then be coming in.
He's so smart.
And all manner of stuff like that. Now, so that's all quite... Then the next thing that I've got that he did... Because it gets very complicated. Well, not the way I tell it, but it gets complicated. It will get more complicated, and I'll do the Fisher Price version.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So this next... So like, as we say, sort of saying, we're not sure we like this guy, but this con that he does that I'm about to tell you is, I think, my favourite con I've ever heard. He noticed that airlines and car rental places, like United Airlines and Hertz cars and stuff, they had a specific drop-off locations for the daily collections of money, and they would put the money in a zip-up bag and deposit them in a drop box on the airline premises, which would be a safe box you couldn't get the money out of until somebody comes to collect it with a key. Would you like to guess what his method of robbing them was?
Copying the key and...
No, that's a great guess, but it's not that.
At the end of the day... Yeah. They put all the money into a pouch and then it goes into a locked...
Drop box. Yeah, locked drop box drop and then box. It gets collected.
He fucks an air student desk.
A student desk?
A student desk.
Oh, is that like when they're in training? That's kind of cute.
They're in training.
I'm a student desk.
I'm a student desk. Fuck me, I'll give you the keys to the safe, thingy-majiggy.
Because I'm only a student of this. Sorry, I'm enjoying myself.
Did he do like an Indiana Jones type thing where he, you know, there was the bag and then he swapped the bag? You know,
that's
that
a good
thing.
Guess. That's a really good guess, but no, it's not that. He put an out of order sign on the Dropbox saying, this is out of order, give it to the security guard standing next to the Dropbox. And then he rented a security outfit from a costume shop. And then everybody gave him
Well, he had all that money from the gas station. So. Yeah. You've got to invest to make money.
That is my favourite con. It's just so funny.
I bet he used that in his sexy times as well, didn't he? That paid dividends, that security guard. Oh, well, security guard doesn't make much money.
Well,
but
it's a costume. It depends if you like a guy in uniform.
I'm going to do this at a cash point in the next few days. Yeah. Like, whenever they, that I don't know does. What they do, they, like, deliver the money, whether it's from the outside or the inside, and be like, it's just not working. Give it to me. Just me.
I think it's amazing to engineer
Look,
a situation
a handbag.
Where
it's
people
a good handbag. Put it in there.
Willingly hand you the money. Like, I do think that's pretty good. And he later, recalling this story, he claimed to be astonished that it had worked, saying, how can a Dropbox be out of service? Like,
it's insane. If that is insane.
It has one job.
Like, 60s, man. They're all high.
They must have been high. Like,
it's fine, man. Yeah, sure. That box doesn't fucking work.
So this gives him a little taste for the power of a uniform. And the next big one we're going to talk about is probably the airline pilot impersonation.
Right, the
sexy
aviator.
Times.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, it actually started as a way to try and look more legitimate when cashing checks.
Oh.
Now, in 1963, can you get an official pilot's uniform from a costume shop?
Yeah, no, yeah.
I guess yes.
I swear, all he needs to do is a little bit of needle and thread, pop, like, buy a suit
it's
and pop three things.
With a couple of,
a couple of bits on it.
Yeah.
Get some of those glasses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you think you guys are going with yes?
No, I think that he made it himself.
Yeah, I reckon he
You think he tailored it?
I think they were available because nobody thought about impersonation then.
Well, let me tell you, it was a bit harder to get one. He had to do a bit of work to get this pilot's uniform because they're official.
Yeah, it's official
ones.
Uniform, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pan Am.
Were they universal across all of the airlines?
Well, he goes for Pan Am, so they have their specific
classic.
One. You have to ring an airline company and get the official one. So he obtained this uniform by calling Pan Am and telling the company that he was a pilot working for them who had lost his uniform while getting it cleaned at the hotel.
Ofs.
And then he used a fake employee ID number and a forged Federal Aviation Administration pilot's license to get a new one.
Of course, because they are
this guy.
Right there.
Sorry.
I love this guy. I think he's
tight.
Yeah.
I feel like I dated him.
He's like,
is he called Chad?
He's dividing. He's divisive.
I really like you. Oh, I forgot my credit card. Can you get this one?
He's that guy.
He is that guy. So question, how many miles did Pan Am estimate that Frank flew between the ages of 16 to 18?
How could he fly?
Okay, so they did this thing called deadheading.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know?
I'm sure like my mum does that to her roses.
Yeah,
like, I feel like she wasn't flying a plane when she did that.
No.
What is it?
I was going to make you guess, but I'll just tell you.
Yeah.
So it is the practice of carrying free of charge a transport company's own staff on a normal passenger trip so that they can be in the right place to begin their duties.
Right.
So it's a bit like how sometimes if you're working for TV, they'll send a car.
Yeah.
Except it's a plane.
Yeah. So he never flew the plane. He just went,
well.
Oh.
We will get to that. You have to guess how many miles he flew.
Oh, just flew as a passenger?
Like, yeah.
Oh, so many. So many. So many miles.
10,000.
More
350.
Eight.
More than 1 million miles.
Oh,
on more than 250 flights to 26 countries.
Is his family independently wealthy?
They were affluent.
They were affluent.
His dad was in, I think, actually now I don't know if his dad was in the army from the film or my research. he was in the army.
I feel like there was a co-pilot situation
Yes.
happening.
Yeah, no, there was. So he wasn't actually expected to do anything.
No.
He was the deadhead.
Yeah, and he didn't pay for the flights, right? So no. It didn't matter how affluent he was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's Mike Pence. I get this now.
I mean, he has a very different attitude to women. But
does he?
Okay, question. Something about his appearance gave Abagnale an advantage of looking much older than his years, which helped him convince people that he was a real pilot.
A massage!
Nice guess.
Was it not being a woman?
Excellent guess.
Yeah, I thought mustache.
Mustache.
Okay.
I say mustache.
Anyone in the audience want to guess? Massive cock. Yeah, they always check your cock, don't they, at customs?
Do you really believe that as you get older it gets bigger? Yeah. Oh, no! He's still got a baby penis and he thinks, I'm 17!
Oh! That's what custom checking's all about. It's about checking everyone's cock size. It's not about anything else.
I don't know how big that cock was, but sorry.
The correct answer is his hair was graying.
Oh,
did you say that? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did he dye it? Or was he genuinely
No,
like
he was genuinely,
graying
from the age of like 15, Scofield. 16.
I can't talk when I'm drunk.
Which, you know, I think it's just so unfair too on the way like men and women age. Because it's like, oh, you're Silver Fox, you're probably an airline pilot.
You've got grey hair and you're a woman. Burn her.
Yeah, cover it up.
Just go and make some pastry. That's all they want from us when we turn grey is food and pastry.
It's really unjust stereotype.
I'm still picturing the eight people in here who are like, we got a taxi from Chippewa.
The fuck
I
is this?
I actually like making pastry.
Okay.
They're just talking and drinking.
So
it's like we paid to watch a party.
He got
How old is he? By
when
16
he's flying.
When he starts.
He's flying.
Yeah. He's flying.
Well, that was my
I mean,
next
he's a
question.
Co-pilot, but
yeah,
still.
He's not even a pilot. He's like sitting in the cockpit.
I feel like my oldest could do that. Like genuinely, I was on an EasyJet the other month. It was August.
Okay, bragging, EasyJet, we get it. You're successful.
But like, exactly.
Relax.
You're welcome. And my oldest just like walked into the cab, the driver's cab, and like as though obviously he's allowed to go there.
Wow.
And the guy was like, yeah, sit in the front desk. And he was like, literally hold. And I was like, only you, white privileged little
boy, can get away with this kind of shit.
I love you dearly.
So he went into the cockpit.
Yeah, straight away, cavalier. And they were like, oh, he's so adorable. And I'm like, it's breaking so many rules.
I love that you just called your darling little son white privileged little shit.
That's good for him.
It's good for him. It's good for him.
Don't coddle.
No.
Question. Did Frank Abagnale ever endanger the lives of the passengers by actually attempting to fly the plane?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Because he's a maverick.
He's an absolute bloody lad, isn't he?
He's high on it.
I wish he'd start with batteries now. It's all fun, wasn't it? It was batteries and tyres. But
so he said that he was often invited by pilots to take the controls of the plane flight. And on one occasion, he was offered this. They were at 30,000 feet.
What do you mean invited?
Well,
like, is that a thing?
They need to have a wee. They need to fuck someone. Okay. They need to do shit.
Whatever they could get away with in the 60s.
Right. Fuck everyone.
They just...
Basically.
Because they think he's a trained pilot. Like,
yeah.
He's not even a trainee pilot. He's like, they're like dropping him off in Texas so that he can fly the next plane in Texas.
Hey, Silver Fox, you want to take over?
Yeah. They're just like being mates.
I just had a salad for the first time.
Like, it'll be that.
Yeah. So he said in his autobiography...
And it takes longer in that little bathroom. It just does.
And also, if you're middle-aged, which they will be...
Yes.
You know, this young spuck can just... It's done. But the older guys, it's 50-minute job, isn't it?
It really is.
They got to dig down. They got to raise the knees up.
Yeah.
They got to... relax the anus.
Anyway.
I didn't think this was going there, but
thank goodness the door is right there for your knees.
For your knees. It's always for the knees. The Mile High Club used to mean a very different...
Nah, it's all about raising the knees up and letting the anus relax.
Are you in the Mile High Club? Yes, I had a poo. I did it.
Honestly, if you shit in the air, you are fucking golden. Like, that is a feat. To be that relaxed?
I don't want
to say... You're in the air. Yes. You should be dead.
No.
And yet you can have a shit? And it's like, what? We can't fly.
I know.
Have a shit.
You're a maverick if you can.
It's true. Yeah.
I don't want to say I've punched the air after it, but it is a feat.
Like, fucking in the
and
air
no
is
And no one
nothing
talks
but
about it, and that's why
air.
We do this. That's why we do this podcast.
Sorry, Katie, continue.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, I'm possessed.
Did the experience of nearly killing everyone, did that put him off being a pilot, pretending to be a pilot?
Nearly
no.
killing everyone?
No, of course not. He does what he wants. But he did have to lay low on the pilot front for a bit for different reasons, not his own morality. There were people after him. There were people looking for him. Tom Hanks was looking for him in the film.
Oh, he's the one that you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone loves Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so great. So the net's closing in a bit. They're starting to check IDs. I think they know that there's someone pretending to be a pilot running amok. He's got a little bit of a paper trail. There's all these bills.
Like, because the pilot's doing a shit, like, how badly is this prick flying? Like, can we just picture that for a second?
Well, the thing that
this is like a hairpin turn.
The bit that I...
We're in New Jersey.
The bit that I didn't read out because I thought we were running out of time was that he took the controls and then he put the autopilot on because he says, I was very much aware that I had been handed custody of 140 lives, my own included, because I couldn't fly a kite. So it's not like he was reckless, you know, he was responsible putting the autopilot on.
Autopilot on.
So he was nearly arrested disembarking a flight from New Orleans and afraid of possible capture, he flees the scene. Question, what does he do instead of pretending to be an airline pilot?
Does he go back to tyres? He just, do you know what? I'll just buy a few tyres, a few batteries. That's all right for me.
He's
I was
way
frightened.
Past tyres.
Oh. He becomes a doctor.
Great guess, and you are correct.
Yeah! Because you remember the film.
So yeah, he decided it would be easier to impersonate a doctor. Oh, to be 17 again.
And then he shacks up with some nurse with braces.
Yeah, like is that true? Is that true?
When I was 17, I impersonated an 18-year-old. That was it. That was as far as I went. Like, this is, I still like him.
Wow.
I'd go to him for a smear test. If it was DiCaprio, I think. I feel. Yeah.
Okay, so he relocates to Georgia, and when filling out a rental application, he was afraid to write pilot on the form in case they checked with Pan Am and he was found out. So he just impulsively wrote doctor. Because he's such a lad.
Why not?
I love men. They can just be, I think I'll be a doctor today.
Yeah. And no one will question me. And then he befriended a real doctor that lived in the same apartment complex. And then he agreed to act as supervisor of the resident interns as a favour to that guy until the local hospital could find someone else to take the job.
Wow. Like, He is so charming.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can't work out if he is so charming
he
or just
be.
Everyone else's dicks. Like, it's got to be a bit of both, I guess.
Yeah.
It makes me want to go back to that era and just pretend to be fucking anything. Like, it was so easy.
Except everyone would go, oh, no, women can't be doctors. It's the 90s.
And then you'd be put in asylum and, like, branded as mad. And then they
so
take
I change my gender and go back in time. I mean, they're probably
If you were a man, you could go back in time and do whatever you want.
My next question is, was Frank good at being a fake doctor?
Yes.
Go with a yes?
Ooh.
I don't think there's autopilot, is there, if you're a doctor?
No autopilot.
I don't think he was good at it.
You don't think he was good at it?
I think maybe he used his charm to delegate to the student.
Very good.
And I don't think he actually ever did any operations.
No. Well,
I bet he referred out a lot, like, you need a specialist.
Yes,
I just have a cold.
Well, basically,
yes,
you
are
correct.
From the movie.
Yeah.
He had the line, but that could have been written and not true.
Well, it's a similar thing. Right, it's a different patient than the movie where he starts to get... Basically, like? It's more tragic line? In real life, but it's not. I don't actually know exactly what happened, but... I took
a taxi from Chippenham.
Do you concur? Like, that was in the film.
Yeah. Well.
So it has to be true?
That was his strategy, for sure, and he got away with that. So he went quite well to start with. And he was in charge of these interns, so he was just letting them do all the guesswork and all the work. And then he was that teacher just going, anyone want to answer Sean's question? Like, he was doing that. But then...
For the purpose of the tape, Kerry has just filled a glass of wine to the brim with possibly 12 to 13 minutes left to go of the show. I'm not quite sure. And we're very proud of her.
I'm taking it literal. Like, we just got to keep on going, right, girl?
You got to do it.
Mum's got a drink. My mum's got a drink.
So, disaster. So a patient comes in, which basically shows that he doesn't know what he's talking about. An infant became critically unwell from oxygen deprivation.
Oh, drop mic.
And he didn't initially understand the meaning or gravity of the situation when a nurse informed him of a blue baby.
Oh, fuck's sake.
He left the hospital shortly after he realised he could put lives at risk by his inability to respond to life and death situations. I could have told him he was risking lives.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be clever.
When is Trump going to come to the same conclusion? We are the blue babies!
Yeah, that is so true. Oh, my God.
Taylor is American. Yeah.
I know you thought I was from Quebec.
But, like, yeah, I just... This is one of the reasons that I don't like him. Because I feel like you don't get points for that. Like,
you just... I'm not the only one that's a spiller.
So we should have a waiter.
That would be good.
This is a safe space for spillers.
Upscale.
When they put all the alcohol out, we're like, oh, my God, we're not even going to get through, like, a quarter of that.
Oh, we will.
There's one bottle left.
I just, because he's like nearly kills or brain damages a baby. And then he's like, oh, I'm a really good guy. I'll stop endangering babies. Like, I think this is why incels think they're
nice
guys.
This was his ghost. Like, his scrunchy ghost.
Yes,
that's how far a white man has to go.
To be like, wait, this is wrong.
Put the scrunchie down.
I can't fit the baby in the bag. Baby, this is wrong.
Okay, question. What next for little Frank Jr.?
Does he, like, impersonate a teacher and he's just inspiring and it's
he
just really
nice?
He
doesn't impersonate a teacher. He
I
can't.
Feel like in the film...
It is. I love a heckle in these gigs. When someone goes, lawyer, and people are like, shut up! Shut up!
We do get
FBI
good heckles.
The FBI get him, and then they want to use his intel on how...
That does happen at the end, but
so
before then,
that,
the lady in the audience is correct. He is a lawyer.
He's a lawyer?
Yeah.
Yes, he passes the bar, doesn't he, to marry the girl with the braces? Who is Amy... Amy
Schumer.
No. It's Amy. The fuck is it?
I know who it is. She's won lots of awards. Yeah.
We got a taxi from Chippenham.
All right. Anyway, also that doesn't happen. Right. He decides to be a lawyer.
A lawyer.
It's the next logical step.
Yeah.
Come on, we've all been 19.
Right. He was 19 when he passed the bar.
Yeah.
He is a savant.
Did they not have law school? Like, here's the bar. Give it your best shot.
Well, I
think he is actually a genius. Like, to be able to, like...
Basically, he's got some fake stuff. Because at one point, he pretended to be from Harvard. So he goes back to Louisiana at this point. He hooks up with this chick he knew, but not that person. And he goes like, hey, remember when I was at Harvard Law School, blah, blah, blah. And she introduces him to a lawyer friend. And then he was told by this lawyer friend that they needed more lawyers and he's offered a chance to apply. So he's already got some forged stuff, But he does have to pass the bar exam, which is that compulsory exam, and he has to pass it in Louisiana. Now, Louisiana has this thing where you can take the exam as many times as you want.
Ah, so they omitted that in the film. So you probably did this test like 33 times.
Well,
wait, are you a Mardi Gras lawyer?
Nah. So he claims that he crammed with revision and he failed twice and then passed legitimately the third time.
Well, it's like me with driving.
The real truth?
Yeah, that was the big thing. And he's maintained that the whole time that he actually did it. Because he said that he could just eliminate what he got wrong on the other two times.
Yeah.
So that is possible.
That's what I did with my driving test.
I'm fine.
So he gets the job as a Louisiana State Attorney General's office at the age of 19. And... in also his biography is supposedly wildly exaggerated because he had a ghostwriter help him and it was written years ago too, and he met with this guy four times and then this will be a better story, this will be a better story. So loads of it, he's actually said some of it's exaggerated since then.
Oh really?
But yes.
So did he not fly planes?
No, he did. Well, this is it. All the stuff that everyone's a bit shitty about now, he's like, oh, that one, you don't like that one. That was exaggerated. He's got his exam. He's got this job. What goes wrong? What could possibly go wrong at this?
The FBI, come on.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Something goes wrong at the job. A real Harvard graduate also works there.
And he said, are we good at hockey?
You were at Harvard with me?
Well, exactly. So this, like, guy's trying to make small talk and compare Harvard notes. Do you think Frank's good at answering those questions?
He didn't have a turtleneck on. And he was like, you didn't go to Harvard.
Yeah. Basically, this undergraduate other person gets really suspicious. And doesn't believe that he went to...
You know why? Because there's this cultural thing in the U.S.
Right.
Still, like, no matter how old you get, everybody's like, what college did you go to? You can be, like, 50 years old.
Really?
Like, what college did you go to? Seriously, I go back and it's insane. It's stupid.
That's so...
You went to a smart one, didn't
you? I bet you went to a good one.
No big deal.
It's fine. A couple of Ivy League. Oh, they listen. They know.
Yeah, and look at how well I'm doing.
Pretty good, pretty good.
I'm dressed up as a possessed 8-year-old on a stage in, no offense at all, Corsham, West Wiltshire. Love your ham. Keep going.
Yeah. I think you're a murdered wife.
The co-worker disbelieved the credentials and contacted Harvard about Frank's academic history. Finding none, he convinced the boss to launch a background check on Frank. However, Frank resigned before it came into progress. Question, how long did he spend as a fake attorney?
3 years.
Any advance?
350 days!
I think he wangled it a year, maybe.
Which is 350 days!
Kerry is the closest. It is 8 months.
8 months.
But the net is closing. As we know, he gets arrested in France in 1969 when he gets recognised by an ex. Question.
You
now,
prick.
Everybody wants to extradite him.
Stop skiing.
Is he extradited?
Yes.
Yes, he is. And this is a bit grim now. Some of this is a bit grim. So after a 2-day trial, he served his first time in Perpignan's prison. I'm not pronouncing that right. 1-year sentence got reduced to 6 months. And at this prison, he was held nude in a tiny, filthy, lightless cell that was never... He was never allowed to leave. And the cell...
Oh, fuck him. I have no sympathy.
It lacked a mattress, plumbing and electricity, and food and water were strictly limited.
Do we see Leo DiCaprio in the film?
No, this is not.
Just wondering.
He's having a lovely cappuccino with Tom Hanks in that
moment.
There is a bit where he's really beardy. They push a few things together because then, after that, he was extradited to Sweden, where he was treated more humanely under Swedish law. During trial for forgery, his defense attorney almost...
Just pictured him in the sauna.
Yeah.
We're so sorry. You have to go to court now.
Release your toxins before you go to court.
He served 6 months in a Malmo prison. And then at the end of that, he was supposed to be tried in Italy next. But a Swedish judge asked the US State Department official to revoke his passport, and without a valid passport, the Swedish authorities were legally compelled to deport him to the United States, where he was sentenced to 12 years in a federal prison for multiple counts of forgery. But before he got back to the USA with Tom Hanks,
thank God, Tom's
do
there.
You think he tried to or indeed succeeded in escaping at any point?
Of course.
Yeah, he did. You are correct.
I love the idea that you tried to hijack a plane and was like, fuck, I can't drive it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to do. I called it driving a plane for a start.
He did shit loads of escaping, but we don't have time to go into it now. It was really exciting. And then...
It's almost like when you're drunk, time doesn't matter.
Does he serve the full 12 years?
No. It's clever.
In 1974, after he'd served less than 5 years... They get him to release on the condition that he'll help the federal authorities without pay to investigate crimes committed by fraud.
Of course.
Blah, blah, blah. And then after that release, well, he does like a few jobs, but he keeps, like, he does stuff like being a cook or a grocer or a movie projectionist, but he keeps...
No, he doesn't.
He does.
No.
Like, for his parole and stuff, but he keeps getting sacked. Why do you think he keeps getting sacked?
Because he can't stop robbing people.
It's a good guess. It's because he doesn't disclose his criminal past.
Ah.
And so then he comes up with it. He doesn't want to live that way, so he comes up with the jobs that will keep him, he doesn't like. So that's when he comes up with the idea to...
He creates an app.
He goes to the banks. And he says that he will speak to the bank staff and show them how the tricks that he used and how to people defraud banks, and he'll help them. So, like, what the film paints isn't quite what happened, but it is roughly what happened.
Yeah.
Then he began a legitimate life as a security consultant and made loads of money.
He had the uniform. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I knew this would come in handy. I'm glad I kept it.
Is he alive?
He's alive. And in 2018.
He's alive now?
He's alive now.
Yay!
And he has his own podcast.
Of course. No!
Of course he fucking does. On how to prevent crime, of course.
Yeah. In 2018, course. He began co-hosting the AARP podcast.
But he's vegan as well.
The Perfect
fucking
Scam.
Hell.
About scammers and how they operate.
Yep.
And he's been happily married for ages. He's got 3 adult sons. He's living his best life.
Well done, right. You.
So,
shit.
We have just enough time for an audience crime, and somebody emailed us called Kerry.
Kelly.
Kelly. I knew it was Kelly.
Kelly, come on up.
Way.
Kelly. The floor is yours.
What happened?
I'm not an umbrella fan, and I got many recommendations about investing in a high class umbrella. So I took
your
plunge.
Jacket.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I took the
plunge. Wouldn't want to get that wet.
Exactly.
Female.
You told her to be quick and now you're interrupting
her. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
You've got 40 seconds.
A really nice jacket.
So I invested in a really expensive umbrella, and on its first outing, on a very rainy day, I was walking along the road with it and I was feeling delightfully happy. It had a forest on the inside and you could look up and it was like blue.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
This is awesome.
Oh, it's amazing. Anyway, that ended. As
what the fuck?
I know.
How?
Well, I think a child stole it from my hand.
Oh, wow.
I stood by the side of a bus stop.
Wow.
Mother of all. How does... Yeah. Oh.
I wasn't sure what was happening. The umbrella was going in the opposite direction to what it was meant to be going. And then it just disappeared.
Oh, the direction means
still. I would have ran and I would never have stopped until I got my brother back.
Well, I did try to run, but it was tipping it down. I wasn't in appropriate footwear.
No. And that beautiful jacket.
This fucking country.
Oh no!
So I kind of said goodbye to my umbrella at that point.
Yeah.
And walked to work. And I arrived very soggy.
Oh no!
Quite upset. And
did you ever catch the person?
Well, I had to go back for a stakeout to identify. to identify the school uniforms.
Yeah.
To which then I sent an email.
Ooh! Wow. To the school.
Business. To the school.
Yes. Nice. Take that, kid.
Strongly worded email.
Nice. Nice.
They raise it in assembly.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And
that,
like,
that is huge.
That is so big.
That is fucking epic.
Also, it would
get your voice heard.
It should be easy to spot
your
this
voice
giant
heard.
Umbrella.
That's Harvest Festival shit.
Yes. Yes.
Big.
Was that like a kid in assembly with a huge umbrella?
Yeah, yeah, like, how
I just
is he going to
talk
hide
about
that?
Potatoes.
This whole show is about people that never learn their limits. Like, Carrie, you learned your limit.
Did I?
At that moment, that dude Frank
scrunchies.
Never did, and whoever stole your umbrella.
Yeah. One of the schools has never responded, but the other school said, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Oh my God. Well, we can't bring back your umbrella, but we can give you this.
Yeah!
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Right. We have just enough time to talk to Kerry. What are you up to? Tell us.
What do you want to know,
you
saucy
you
bitch?
Plug? What are you up to? I want to know all the sauce.
What's coming up?
I've got a little show coming out on the telly box. So drunk. I did a thing with Dawn French and she's really good. And it's on ITV and it's her vehicle and she's fucking amazing in it. And
awesome.
I'm like one of the, it's a huge ensemble. Vicky Pepperdine's in
it. Oh my God.
Like amazing talent.
Wow.
Is in it.
And me.
Including
yeah.
you.
Including you.
That's out in March on
awesome.
ITV. And that's the one thing I can talk about because I'm doing other things, guys, that I can't talk about.
That is also a thing I say when I have fuck all on.
No. It's to do with something in the air. A channel that's in the air.
Oh, well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing little bits and bobs. It's great.
Yay, love it. Well, thank you so
thank
much
you
for
having me.
Thank you for coming.
You guys
are
so lovely.
We
thank
solved
you.
Everything. We solved it. Thank you very much. Good night.
Keep drinking.
Thank you for spending Halloween with us.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.